AOPA presents Never Again, true pilot stories from the world of general aviation. In this episode, inadvertent flight into unreported IMC causes a VFR pilot to reflect on the value of effective flight instruction. Find out what happens in A Lake and a Layer by Philip McKenna. It was April 19th, 2010, a beautiful day for flying. I departed Tyler, Texas, Kilo Tango Yankee Romeo, for a 2.5 hour flight to Lakefront Airport, Kilo November Echo Whiskey, in New Orleans. The route in the Cessna 172 took me over the barges on the Mississippi, the massive river bridges in Baton Rouge, and finally, a 12-minute flight across Lake Pontchartrain. I landed at the Lakefront Airport, which hugs the southern coastline of Pontchartrain, the second largest saltwater lake in the United States. It was an absolutely perfect flight. As soon as I landed at Lakefront, I was already anticipating the flight home. If all went well with my work, I would be flying home the next day. The next day, my work was complete, and I left the facility around noon. I called flight service to get current and en route weather and file a flight plan. New Orleans was reporting an 11,000-foot ceiling and 10 miles visibility, perfect for the 2.5 hour flight in the 172, especially since I am not instrument rated. When I arrived at the airport, I looked at the sky and thought, it sure looks like a layer of something to me. So I called flight services again, same answer. Then I called a friend who has his instrument and commercial ratings, and I asked him to look online to see what was being reported. 11,000-foot ceiling and 10 miles visibility, he told me. Finally, I determined that I was imagining things. I pre-flighted the airplane, got the ATIS, same answer. I completed the run-up and called the tower. I decided to ask one more time what they were showing for a ceiling. Same answer, 11,000 feet. After takeoff, I was handed off to departure, who gave me a heading and told me to climb and maintain 2,500 feet. I noticed how hazy it was. The horizon was still there, but it was hard to distinguish as it blended into the huge lake. A few minutes into the flight, departure instructed me to climb to 4,000. At 3,200, I noticed the horizon and the lake starting to disappear. At 3,700 feet, I was flying solely by instruments. After about 30 seconds at 4,000 feet, I called departure and told them that I needed to descend to escape this mess. Departure told me to descend at my discretion. My first time in IMC was nothing like I had imagined. The earth just disappears. The bearings you have had your entire life are gone. The boundaries which define for us our place in space and time have vanished. Gravity, which helps us discern up from down, ceases to exist. You are suspended with no sense of speed, no horizon, and no ground reference. Statistics reveal the average time before a non-instrument rated pilot loses control in IMC is 2 to 3 minutes. Fortunately, I had quite a bit of hood time. I had always thought it was fun to fly by instruments, and it never really bothered me. Until now. I was alone in the airplane. There was no instructor sitting next to me. I couldn't take off the hood and reorient myself. My palms started to sweat. I made a conscious effort to slow my breathing. I was not scared, but I was concerned. And I was also thinking, I sure wish Charlie was sitting here next to me. A few years ago, I restarted flying after a several-year layoff. I spent quite a bit of time trying to find a place where I could dedicate a full week to nothing but reacquainting myself with being a pilot. I found that training center when I contacted Mark Air Aviation at Northwest Regional, 52 Foxtrot. Charlie Yates is retired from the Air Force and Delta Airlines and is the chief flight instructor for Mark Air. It was one of my first flights with Charlie. We were heading back to the field, and he asked me what I would do if I inadvertently flew into IMC. I told him I never really thought about it, because I didn't plan on flying into IMC. Charlie told me we needed to talk about it anyway. I could hear Charlie's voice. If you need to descend to escape IMC, reduce the power, let the nose slowly drop, and the plane will settle into a gentle 200 to 300 foot per minute descent. Keep the wings level. You don't need to worry about airspeed. Aerodynamics will take care of that for you. Keep your head still. Don't look out the window. Your peripheral vision will sense leaving the clouds. Relax and trust your instruments. Stay calm. I was in complete IMC for 3 to 4 minutes. At about 3,200 feet, the faint view of the horizon returned. I leveled off at 3,000 feet. After swallowing really hard and completing my silent prayer, I called departure and let them know what I encountered. We concluded I had flown into a very thin overcast layer, so thin, in fact, that the sensors had failed to detect it. Departure informed me all VFR traffic would be advised of the overcast layer. A few minutes later, I crossed the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain and the weather started to clear. A combination of haze, the huge lake, and a thin, visible overcast layer brought me my first flight into IMC. I safely landed in Tyler, Texas, 2 hours later. As a non-instrument-rated pilot, I would never intentionally fly into IMC. On my drive home from the airport, I thought about how I got myself into that situation and how the experience could make me a better pilot. I should have stopped climbing at 3,200 feet and not assumed conditions were going to improve. I didn't trust my gut instinct and my own eyes. I saw the overcast layer. Even though everything and everyone said it was not there, I should have trusted what I saw. If you are a non-instrument rated pilot and have not worked with an instructor on how to get out of IMC, you need to do that immediately. Finally, I have accelerated my instrument training. And though I can fly Microsoft Flight Simulator and successfully land in or near zero-zero conditions all day long, there is nothing like real IMC to make you realize how dangerous it is. If I fly into IMC again, it will be as an instrument-rated pilot. And although I am still mad at myself for almost leaving my beautiful family to deal with my poor decision-making, I am so grateful that I had an instructor who cared enough to make sure I was prepared to deal with a situation I was certain would never happen. The Never Again Podcast is brought to you by AOPA, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, and by AOPA Pilot Magazine. You can read more Never Again stories online at aopa.org/neveragain. While you're there, you can also join online discussions, check out AOPA's online flight planner, and take interactive online courses from the Air Safety Institute. All of this and more at aopa.org. The Never Again Podcast is produced by Royce Earle. Thanks for listening. Fly safely.